B-Pod Studios.
Hour. Mike Missanelli Show. Brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Guided Door and Window has extended their big winter sale for one more month. Receive 40% off all windows and doors in February. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit GUIDA.com. You know, I got some Twitter inquiries about why we haven't heard today on Valentine's Day from the great Bob from Tennessee, who has an ongoing love story.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's doing anything special or sent anything special.
Him and Brenda are probably canoodling all day.
He and Brenda, what do you think Bob did? He had to send her some, flowers, right?
Or they're together, and that's why he hasn't called in. He might be busy.
You think Bob hired Michael Bolton?
Maybe.
We know that Kanye hired Kenny G.
Yeah.
Bob and Michael Bolton to fly down to Brenda's place.
There you go. You decide to hit and act there, listening to the show.
Bob, we got
to
hear from you on V-Day. Let's go to Joe in West Philly. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, what's up, man? You know what? I'm sitting here bugging out about these crazy stories. And I had a story. I had a story of my own. I had met my baby, my son mom, about 10 years ago. So I met her about 10 years ago, and she introduced me to her whole family. And she had a big family, nothing but women and children. So, you know what I mean? A bunch of women and children.
Yeah.
And things like that. But she was the only one without any children. So she said she would like children. So we worked on having children, whatever. So she said she was pregnant. I took her to the doctor. She came out. She said she was pregnant. So months go by. You know, my family threw a big baby shower and everything. I got like $2,000 of a child. I mean, golden crib and everything. So as it's getting closer to the due date, you know what I mean? It's not looking right. You know what I mean? So my family and everybody start questioning. So I put the pressure, like, what is going on? What do you do? You're pregnant? Because I haven't been to any appointments and everything like that. So she throws up, bang, falls under pressure. I'm sorry, you know, I have cysts on my ovaries. I came to get pregnant. I said, why would you tell me that? I didn't want you to leave me or whatever. I said, all right. So, you know, I said, now you have, we was living together at the time. I said, you have to go. This is a, you know, big embarrassment to me and my family. So we're still dealing with each other. You know what I mean? We're still dealing with each other strong. It's just, you know, embarrassing situation. So a couple of months go by later, and I call her house. The sister goes, well, I had to take her to the hospital because she was sick this morning. She was throwing up. So I said, have her call me when she comes in. So she calls me when she comes in. I said, what's wrong? She says, oh, I went to the hospital, and I was sick. I said, you got the flu? They said, no. I tested positive for a pregnancy test. I said, look, with all this baby and stuff, it's not meant to happen. Just leave it alone. You know what I mean? Enough of that. So she says, well, I got to go to the OBGYN in 2 weeks. I said, whatever. You know what I mean? So I was just ignoring her. So she called me. She said, I'm going to call you back when I'm going to call you the day of the appointment. So she called me the day of the appointment.
All right, we got to shorten the story up. Was it your kid?
All right, make a long story short.
Yeah, was it your child?
Yeah. She called me. I make a long story short. She called me. You know what I mean? It says she's 10 weeks pregnant.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, how, you know, the child, you know what I mean? He's healthy and everything. He's measuring 2 weeks ahead. See, 4 weeks. He's measuring 6 weeks. So I said, what? Why? What happened? Like, how did? It's crazy. She says, well, I had cysts on my ovaries, and they always give me these little fertility pills and tell me I got a 0 to 5% chance of getting pregnant. I done did that before. Nothing ever happens. So she said, after we broke up that time, you sent me home. I went to my mom's house. I seen the pills, and all of a sudden, something told me to take the pills. And I took the pills, and then when I was sick and went to the hospital.
Well, are you still with her?
Yep.
That's good. That story was getting really long. So wait a minute. So a girl told him she was pregnant to keep him? And then
initially,
went through the whole charade of the baby shower, but she wasn't growing a baby.
Right. So he leaves, but he's still having relations.
Yeah.
But
how in the world do you, how many months in do you have a baby shower?
Well, usually pretty far in.
Well, that's what I mean. So, like, if she's not showing.
I don't know what she was doing. Maybe she was hitting the buffet extra hard to fool him. Because he don't know. And he was asking about the doctor's appointments because he was catching on. His family was helping him. He was naive at first. He's embarrassed. Then she ends up actually getting pregnant. And they still together to this day.
All right.
That's a great one.
One open line.
Very extra.
610-632-0. That's a road hard traveled right there that my man went through. 610-632-0975. Let's go Kevin in Center City. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Yo, what up, Mike? Y'all in your Valentine's Day bag today.
I just feel awkward that I just want to talk about.
No, that's okay. That's perfectly acceptable.
But I wanted to drop, you being the Wire fan you are, I wanted to drop this analogy on you, right?
Okay.
So Brett Brown as a coach is the definition of a 40-degree day, right? Like, he's not good enough to be a 70-degree day and have us out here barbecuing. But we don't want to complain because he could be a 20-degree day, but he's a 40-degree day, meaning there's really nothing special about him.
Ain't nobody give a bleep about a 40-degree day.
Nobody give a, and nobody gonna remember, nobody give a bleep about a 40-degree day. I'm at this point, I just hope the Sixers have enough talent to outdo whatever harm he can do in the coach. Honestly, that's where I reside. And then at the end of the season, we reevaluate. And
all right. What do your instincts tell you, Kevin? Do you doubt that he can get pull this off and win the East?
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, he has given me no reason to believe that he can. I do believe the Sixers have enough talent to do so, but I don't think it will be at his behest.
All right. Well, here's the thing. The only frame of reference we have is this Boston game with this new alignment, mm-hmm. right? Now, if we study the rest of the way they play the rest of the year, now, unfortunately, they're not going to play those teams ahead of them a lot the rest of the year, so we probably won't know. But it's like they have enough talent to beat every team, and the Boston thing is going to have to be where he adjusts. And I think he's learned after that last game that he's got to do something different. And if he doesn't learn, then you're right. He shouldn't be the coach.
And I agree. My hesitation with Brett Brown is that, and I know a lot of people don't want to dig back deep into the process days, but a lot of the things that were bad, even when we were bad, hasn't been corrected. The high number of turnovers, the play call, and the rotation.
Yeah, but they did have single-digit turnovers in the one game recently, right? Which game was that? Was it the Warriors game, or was it the... No, it wasn't the Lakers game.
Nuggets
it was before
game.
The Lakers
no,
the, game. The Nuggets no. game. The Denver game. Yeah, it was the Denver game. They had like seven, eight turnovers.
No, that was the Lakers game.
That was the Lakers game?
Where they had eight, but they didn't have many against the Nuggets either.
Here's the thing. When you have better players on the floor, you're going to have fewer turnovers. I haven't noticed, like, they used to have, like, these monster games at 20 turnovers. You have better players on the floor, and you know where everybody's going to be, and it's just a matter of playing together. Maybe I'm overly optimistic. I believe that they're going to win the East. Let's go to Spanky on a mobile. Spanky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Spanky.
Hey, Mike. I want to tell you my love story real fast. This is it's really kind of decent. So you already know my wife passed a few years ago.
Yes.
And I had a friend that I knew before she passed. We were just real good friends. I known her for about 16 years, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So while my wife was away, you know, that month of December, November, it was kind of black for us, and then she passed away on my birthday in December. So at all that time, my lady that I'm with right now, she had a man too. Mm-hmm. And she just, you know, she was comforting me. You know, we was really, really cool. And, you know, I did the dating thing. I dated a few ladies, you know, after my wife passed. You know, they was cool, but I just didn't really, you know, they wasn't for me.
You had a connection. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they was just cool. Mm-hmm. And then a couple years after that, my lady friend, he died, right? So her friend had died, and then we had just kind of leaned on each other, and
That's how you got together.
Yeah, that's how we got together. Two years later.
It works in mysterious ways, Spanky.
Yeah, man. After all these years, we had a mutual friendship together, and, you know, I ain't gonna lie, Mike, I was attracted to her. She's beautiful. But, you know, I had my wife, and we was, you know, uh-huh. she never disrespected me or none of that kind of stuff. We were just really, really good friends. Then my lady passed, and she was with somebody. Then her dude passed, uh-huh. and I had to snatch her up, Mike.
Well, that's good work by you, Spank. I'm glad you're happy, Spank. You deserve it.
Yeah. Natalie, I actually introduced her. Natalie met her at the Fanatic Fest when I was looking for you. And I wanted to introduce her to you before I took the picture with y'all, but she was sitting at the table and it was so much of a line. I really wanted her to meet you.
Yeah, I would have met her. I definitely would have met her.
Yeah. She's beautiful too, Mike. Uh-huh. And she's 50 years old. I'm 47. She's 50 years old. I took her to Jamaica, and she put a lot of them young girls to shame. People couldn't believe how that she was 50 years old.
Go ahead, Spanky.
Yes, I love him like that. So I wanted to say, Mike, as far as the Sixers go, Mike, you know what makes me mad? As far as this, I want to go back to the Boston games. I couldn't talk to you. They got to learn to hate Boston, Mike. That's what it is with me. I think the attitude that they got towards this team, that they ain't taking it serious enough to, like, you know how we can't stand Dallas? They got to get to the point where they can't stand these dudes, to the point where they won't be disrespected the way they've been.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And part of that is playing that game to win and not using a 10-man rotation. There's a statement to be made in that game. Boston knows it every time they play the Sixers. Brett doesn't. He had a bad rotation that night. He played it like he played it every other game. To me, that game was meaningful enough to throw a 7-8 rotation alignment at Boston. Play your starters. Grind them if you have to. But you have to win that game. Herman in Delaware. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Herman.
Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Herman?
I'm a 25-year listener, Mike.
I appreciate that, Herm. Thank you.
All right. Happy Valentine's Day, Natalie.
Aww.
What's up, Tyrone? hey, listen. I just want to talk about this guy with the sports store.
Yeah, the guy that closed, protested, and then wound up closing. And now, who's he going to blame it on? He's trying to get sympathy. It's his own damn fault.
This guy is my donkey of the month for that. Because, and my thing is, this guy's like that. Like, he doesn't have a problem selling a Kareem Hunt jersey if he was open,
mm-hmm.
or a Jason Kidd jersey, or any other athlete that's had domestic violence against somebody. No problems with that. But a guy... He has a problem with a guy that was doing a peaceful protest.
See, a guy like that doesn't understand the issue. And, you know, I don't know if that's indigenous to Colorado, because Colorado is a pretty white state. But they didn't understand the issue. So for that guy to protest by doing that, and he wants to cut his own legs off, for what? What cause does he have? He doesn't have a cause.
Nothing. No, whatsoever. And the guy's been in business, what, 20 years?
Yeah, and so what? His cause was that now his family suffers because his business went to the toilet. Is that, like, really? Like, that's it, and you're proud of that? Okay. Jeff in media, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Hey, what's up, man? You
what's up, Jeff?
You mentioned love line today, huh?
Yeah, it's a different day, man. Valentine's Day, right. Well, different.
I wanted to rewind to the Matt Kuchar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sipping Chatty.
Go ahead.
Just a quick story. I played in this golf tournament a couple of years ago. Big bucks to get into it, right? And they set you up with a caddy and all. And we get out there and teeing off on, like, the second hole or whatever. And I hit out, and I'm looking for the caddy, you know. We get down there. The dude's nowhere to be found. He's, like, in the trees or whatever. We come find the ball. He's out there. He smells like weed, right? He's all stinking.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets down. We're playing the rest of the round. I ask for a club, you know, a 9-iron. He hands me a 6-iron. You know, the guy's just out of it. Right? So I'm pissed off the whole day, you know, paid good money to get in there. So at the end of the round, you know, you're supposed to tip, you know, the caddies.
Yeah.
They say. I'm like, I'm not tipping this guy. You know, he ruined my whole day. So it kind of threw me back to that Kuchar thing. You know, maybe he had a beef with the caddy during the round and was like, listen, after this round, you're done.
They didn't have a beef, A, and B, he won the damn tournament with the guy on his bag. So, like, how bad could it have been?
I mean, he
won a million two.
The caddy.
I mean, he won a million two with the guy carrying his bag. You could have had a guy, you know, like some little dude carry your bag.
Sleeping with his wife.
Like, the guy that was in the greatest story ever told could be your caddy. Doesn't matter. You won the tournament. Whatever the guy did, he didn't prevent you from winning the tournament. But the comments that Kuchar makes afterwards... I don't lose sleep over this. This is something I'm quite happy with, and I was really happy for him to have a great week and make a good sum of money. Making $5,000 is a great week. Yeah, except when you win the tournament and you get 1.2 mil. You don't feel charitable after that? Seriously, dude.
That sport, I guess it's just that's just different. Because imagine if that was LeBron... or Tom Brady or somebody like that, and there was some equivalent. and we found out that LeBron or Tom Brady's equipment guy, he had to tip him. And we found out that if Tom Brady got $1 million Super Bowl bonus, he gave the guy $5,000. We would destroy Tom Brady.
Absolutely. You pay the guy the 10%, you still have over $1 million in prize money. What are you serious?
You help the guy out. Instead, you give him $5,000. And the caddy even said, we got along fine. That's why he was so shocked by how low it was, because he thought they were hitting it off. He thought they were becoming friends.
And Kuchar goes, I kind of feel unfortunate, like some other people got in his head, that he's deserving something different than we agreed upon. Yes, you agreed upon $5,000, except you won the damn tournament. You agreed on $5,000 straight up. When you win the tournament, what is the protocol in golf? The protocol is 10%. You have a successful tournament, the protocol is 5%. It's like written in stone in caddy world. Come on, Matt. That's bad news. And you're probably worth $200 million to boot. Dane in Collegeville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dane.
Yo, Mike, what's going on,
man? What's going on, Dane?
How are you doing? Pretty good. Just calling to touch base. I haven't talked to you in a while. Sixers, major letdown the other night. I don't know. I hear you when you say they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or make it to the NBA Finals, Mike.
Uh-huh.
But you can't have your 7-foot center shooting 8 threes a game, Mike.
No, that's too many.
You can't have your 6'10 point guard turning the ball over. Like, that's just not fundamental, man.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, we'll see, like, how this whole thing clicks with all these different players.
I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon and scream, trade Ben Simmons, get rid of Embiid. But like you said, Mike, for a game like that where it's circled on the schedule, where Boston's had your number for how many seasons? 4 seasons?
Yeah.
Like, you have to win that game. They won last night, Mike, but I'm like, does it really matter that they won last night? You know, other than the win.
I agree with you. 8 threes is way too many. I don't know. You can't do this to pro players because the pro players are playing the game. But if I'm Brett Brown, I go, all right, you got four.
Like,
you got four. Use them wisely.
Embiid's got to get off the stuff.
But what are you going to do? What can you do to pro players? You take them out of the game, you cut off your nose and spite your face. You tell Embiid, I only want 4 threes out of you tonight. He takes 6. What are you going to do? You going to take him out for that?
No, I'm not.
See, you don't have the hammer. Pro coaches don't have the hammer. Popovich has the hammer. That's it.
Popovich has the hammer?
He has the hammer. Popovich, because of his longevity and Phil Jackson had the hammer. Only guys like that have the hammer over pro players. Brett doesn't have the hammer over pro players.
So you're telling me that Brett Brown is in the coddling the players and making them feel good?
I'm just telling you that it's easy for us to say, the coach should say, you have to shoot, demand to shoot. Or the coach should say, you can't take threes. It doesn't work like that in the NBA. Because the only thing you have as a punitive measure is to take a guy out of the game for not doing what you want. And pro coaches know if they do that, they're committing professional suicide. Let's go, Charles in Philly. Charles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Charles.
Yes, hi, Mike.
What's up, Charles?
First-time caller, long-time listener.
What's up, buddy?
I wanted to talk about the 76ers. I remember last year in the finals, Stephen A. Smith came out and blasted Brett Brown and accused him of losing two of those games. And I didn't necessarily agree with that, but I think now I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because before the Boston game, I said I wanted to see how he's going to approach this game, and if he's going to do it differently than he did in the series last year, which he didn't do. The whole strategy that he's using, letting Embiid come out and not be under the basket and not, you know, putting power toward the basket from other people or not even challenging, physically speaking, Boston. I mean, it's so when people say, well, he's a nice guy, we should keep him and we should wait. Mike, I really don't have confidence. I like him very much. I hope very much. But I really don't think that strategically.
All right, well, you could be right. But your only alternative is to let it play out. They're not going to fire him. He's going to be the coach for the rest of this season.
Absolutely.
Now, if he doesn't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, his job's in jeopardy. There's no question.
Okay.
I mean, Al Brandon went out and got all these guys to do what? To win the damn East. So if they don't win the damn East, his coach is going to be under scrutiny, and he might lose his job. But you got to let this play out.
Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely in agreement with that. I'm just saying I was looking at this one game and looking at last year and looking at that series, and I'm saying I hope now that he has some other pieces that he's going to approach this game differently. And frankly,
yeah, no, listen, I agree with you. I'm not James Naismith here, right? But if I'm doing film study to see what Boston does against me, I got to come up with a better plan than what he did the other night. They do three things. They know J.J. Redick is going to get the pick handoff screen when he goes right. So they take that away from him. So I go, all right, I'm going to take that away from him. I got a quick swing to the left where all the defensive traffic is going right. I got a quick swing to the left. There should be open spots on the floor. I got Ben Simmons. If they're going to come up and wall him off, I got to get the ball to Joe down low. These are the little things that I'm not a basketball coach, but I can see you can counter what Boston is doing defensively. They do three things. They take three guys out of the game, J.J., Ben, and Joel Embiid. So you, as a head coach, have the responsibility to counter what they do. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
Bouncing back, this Fanatics Sports Update is brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. You may not always need a water heater, but when you do, choose Bradford White. Sixers bounce back after their loss to the Celtics to beat the Knicks last night, 126-111.
Here's Harris, and that's good, and that'll do it. 40 seconds to go. Tobias Harris knocking down a three. The Sixers pull away by 15.
They head into the All-Star break fifth in the Eastern Conference at 37-21. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid will face each other in the All-Star game on Sunday night. The Sixers resume play next Thursday night against the Heat. Phillies signed pitcher Aaron Nola to a four-year, $45 million contract extension. Demand for top talent is at an all-time high. AccountTemps can help you find highly skilled temporary accounting and finance professionals who fit your needs and hit the ground running. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Yeah, Dad, sing it.
Wait for it.
When I heard the news today. Oh, get it, Michael. Come and get it straight from you. Is there a Kenny G, Michael Bolton concert that I can get tickets for?
Said you were leaving. Someone swept your heart
away. I'm just here for the music.
We have to wait for the, you know, the big part. Here it goes. Ready? So tell me all about it.
Oh, my God.
Here it comes. Get ready. I go.
Tell me how am I supposed to live without you?
Oh, man.
Now that I've been loving you so long.
I got Michael Bolton ring. Last me the rest of my life. It's time for the Twitter poll, Michael.
Well, my year's made.
Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. From snow blowers to generators and small engines, for every part for every machine in stock when you need it. Moyer will keep you going this winter. Natalie.
Over 2,600 500 votes today, Mike. Who is your Philly sports Valentine? 50% say Joel Embiid, 31% say Gritty, 7% Aaron Nola, and 12% Jason Kelce.
All right, poor Aaron. This is the Jason Kelce. Come on. Jason Kelce.
The speech, come on.
All right. Let's get back to the phones. Eric and Trenton joins us. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up? Guys.
Hold on, man.
Happy Valentine's Day.
How you too?
Hey, you want to learn how to make a rose out of a napkin?
I'm sorry?
You want to learn how to make a rose out of a napkin?
Sure. You want to email me directions?
No, I'm going to tell you over the phone.
All right, go ahead.
You take the napkin, you open it all the way up.
Uh-huh.
You make a 2-inch fold. Uh-huh. You take your forefinger and your middle finger, take your thumb, and then pinch it with the fold facing down. And then twist it around your fingers and then kind of make it go downwards.
Uh-huh.
And then when you get all the way around, grab it and then twist it real tight and then twist it all the way down and then open it up. It'll look like a tulip. Then you take the inside of it and you twist it around so it kind of makes like the petals. And then when you're done with that, you just kind of crunch it on the top. And boom, you got a rose.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. What would make me want to do that? Natalie just did it. Natalie just did it with your instructions. She made a rose. Now, why would I want to do that? I would give a paper napkin rose to someone.
Yeah, why not?
Could I look at myself in the mirror after I did that?
I've had a lot of girls get smiles out of it.
Really?
They always like it.
Okay, I might want to pull a real rose out of my pocket instead. I'm gonna do that, but I like it.
Want to tell him at my wife? I didn't have the courage to go up and talk to her, and the bar was closing, so I went up, and I made the rose, I gave it to her, and when I gave her the rose, she gave me her phone number.
She gave
me a peck.
She fell for an old banana and tailpipe trick.
30 years we've been married.
Oh, nice job,
we
Eric.
Together 30.
She fell for the paper rose. Beautiful. Good work. Yep.
But, the Sixers, you say they should have played a shorter bench. But isn't it better for all the players to play now to see who can actually play?
No, you had to win that game. You got to shorten your bench like it's the playoffs.
So you're just making the Celtics
bigger. Listen, you know who could play, all right? You know who you can use in that situation. You don't use Furkan Korkmaz. You don't use TJ on the floor with JJ at the same time. You play the game to win.
You should always play to win.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When you do stuff like that, and you got Furkan getting 10 minutes, and you got TJ on the floor with JJ where they're going to exploit that mismatch, you're giving away points.
I got you. What else were we going to say?
I think you said enough, man. That paper napkin rose instruction. Nice work there. Looks like a kind of like a...
She only has one good hand.
It's like a petunia.
Yeah.
More than a rose.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a petunia.
He lost me a little at the end, but I had the beginning down.
No, that's nice. A petunia works.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Aaron in King of Prussia. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
Hey, man. We don't always have the same opinions, but today we're like twins, dude. Yeah. I agree. I looked at Boston after that game, and the way that they were chanting and they were cheering, it was more than a game to Boston. Boston was like, yeah. And I'm not more players, but we still own y'all. They were really hyped. So it was a very important game to Boston. It should have been more to us.
I agree. But I think you had to play that game to win.
And the other thing is, if I'm the coach and the other coaches come up with two ways to hamper three of my players, what's my job? My job is to come back to them and say, look, this is what they're doing. He's come up a way with the frustrating B, and he's come up with a defense to frustrate Simmons. So if I'm a coach, if my job is to say, okay, let's diagnose this, let's see what they're doing and come up with other strategies to undo it. Or if I can't do that, at least I got to come up with ways to frustrate their players. And then when you come back to them and you give them advice, that you have to respect because they're saying, look, you know, these guys had us in the bind, and the coach helped us to do this. So now if he tells me to do something, I have that respect that I'm going to follow him. But I believe Brett Brown has had to come up with some better ways to do things. And I mean, I watch Simmons drive down on the break, and he saw them forming that wall, and he just stopped the break and just dribbled out.
Yep. Listen, man, we are in lockstep on this whole thing. You notice that Boston didn't play Yabusele in that game, right? He usually gets minutes for them.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't play those guys. He didn't play the two guys usually get minutes for him. He didn't play in that game.
Yeah, he went down to basically eight and a half. Eight, and one guy got 6 minutes.
Exactly.
I would have done the same thing, but Brett never does. He even says he's going to play nine in the playoffs, which I'm an eight guy in the playoffs. I'm old too. School. Play eight, your top eight, and that's that.
Yep. Josh Audubon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Josh?
I wanted to touch on that Kuchar story again.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me a little bit. You know, I've been golfing my whole life, and I have to defend the sport a lot of times. This puts another black eye on it.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, I don't know how many black eyes golf has because they're kind of boring. It's kind of a boring follow. Yeah. But I mean, for Kuchar to defend this is ridiculous.
Right, yeah. So I just want to tell you a quick story. Mm-hmm. So I caddied growing up, you know, and 11, 12, 13 years old, I got two bags on, you know, one on each shoulder. And, you know, before noon on a Saturday morning, I might have $200, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had a minimum. We had a minimum for each bag, and it was a $40 minimum. And I'd be damned if I had a day where I didn't get at least 80 per bag. I mean,
exactly.
Golfers are generous people, you know.
Yes.
So anyway, let me tell you a quick story that's even more embarrassing than Kuchar. So I work on a ship, so I travel the world, and I golf in a lot of different places. So one time we're in Myanmar, the old Burma out there in Asia.
Yeah.
And it's 110 degrees out, and we pull up to this course, and there's no carts. So basically, they, you know, a lot of these places in these third world countries, they use, like, local villagers that come and, you know, caddy your bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't tell my friends this at the time, but in the pro shop, it was a minimum $5 for these caddies. That's it.
Wow.
Right. So the end of the round comes and we're doing 50 cent beers and all this. And they said, how much do you think we should give the caddies? I said, well, you know, it's probably tasteful to give at least $25. I said, and as we're walking out to the car, they see it's a $5 minimum on the sign. I'm like, oh God. And they gave them $5. I was so embarrassed. I had to take care of the rest of them. So I gave them $100.
Yeah. That's like, what, Jonathan Mardukas had to do. He had to re-tip when Jack Walsh only left 13% in the train car. Yeah, I was in Scotland golfing many years ago, and they have either caddies or walkers. And we got a walker. But they're supposed to know the course. They're just not, they're coming along just giving you advice. They're not like true caddies. So there was this young fella named Colin. So we get to the middle of the fairway. My buddy's got his ball in the middle of the fairway. He goes, all right, Colin, how much to the pin? And he looks down at the ball. He looks at the pin. He looks down at the ball. Looks at the pin. Looks down at the ball. Looks at the pin. Turns to him and goes, I don't know.
What? What kind of useless? You're supposed to pay him to say, I don't know.
I don't know, he said.
What? That is shameful.
610. Wait. We're done. It's the sound off coming our way. In five, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli.
On 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
Sound off. All right, time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705. That's the number for Sound Off. If you got something to say, hit us up on that line. Leave us a message. We review the messages. We select certain ones for play on the air. Let's see what we have today.
What I saw when they played Boston was bad defense and poor offensive execution. Mike, if this doesn't get corrected, how's this going to make me feel any better if they're beating up on inferior teams, but when they play the top teams, they play like crap?
They haven't played the top teams with this particular alignment yet. I mean, they played a top team and beat Golden State. They played a top team and beat Denver. Boston didn't go that well. But we got to wait it out and see. They're a different team now. You can't say they don't beat the good teams. They never used to beat the good teams with an inferior lineup.
I wonder if Andy Reid called Brett Brown today to see if he wanted to buy any of those unused timeouts that Andy's been storing up all these years. Sure would have been nice to inbound that ball at half court last night instead of the baseline with 1.8 seconds to go.
Well, that's true, actually. They wasted that last time out. They didn't have it to inbound it at half court, so they weren't going to get a good shot off.
So, Mike, for me, a good coach takes advantage of teams' weaknesses. J.J. Redick can score, but he can't stop anybody. So what do? They take advantage of that. When T.J.'s in the game, they take advantage of that. Brett Brown, do you not watch game film? Do you not know how to take advantage of the mismatches that you may have? Embiid is a mismatch on everybody that's 16. But yet you got him out at the three-point line.
I can't argue with any of what you just said. And you shouldn't have TJ and JJ on the floor at the same time against teams that are going to exploit them. And Boston does it all the time.
Yeah, this isn't no anti-Ben Simmons call. I love Ben. However, he's got a man up when he goes to the rim. Whatever reason, Ben, he goes to paint, he just fades away from the basket or contorts his body in some awkward position to make it so much harder on him to make a layup or a dunk.
You know why?
He's obviously afraid to go to the free throw line. He's just got a man up. You miss it, who cares?
No, that's exactly why he does it, because he's afraid to go to the free throw line. Now, lately I've been seeing, I like the way it's coming off the fingertips a lot better. You know, so maybe that's improving. But still, you know, it's funny, because the first free throw, he'll keep the elbow in. The second one, well, I'll have the elbow out and it's offline.
Yeah, he works on it a lot. It's just, It's going to take more time than the fan base is willing to be patient for.
And when you get the elbow out, you're steering the ball towards the basket rather than shooting it.
Mike, this Fultz has really got some nerve. Where did he get off taking a shot at the Sixers organization after they really did everything to help him? And not to mention he's claiming he's getting pushed really hard in Orlando. The guy hasn't even been on the floor yet. He's a total weasel, a fraud, and a liar.
Well, he is a total weasel. But what's interesting about this is that there's so many Brett Brown haters. But don't criticize one of our own. We may hate our brother, but if you criticize the brother, he come right at you. A lot of Brett Brown defenders today, because Fultz said, I think it excites me that I have coaches that's going to push you to be better and not just tell you what you want to hear. But you're such a baby, they had to tell you what you wanted to hear.
Hell of a win last night by the Sixers. But I said to myself going into the game, you know, this is the worst team in the NCAA. 17 losses in a row. We need to smash these guys after coming up short against Boston. And we limped across the finish line.
Yeah, but that's all right. They played with the Knicks last night. Who cares? The Knicks cut into the lead. They were never danger to losing that game. Sometimes you get bored when you play that team.
All right, so people are pissed off at Brett Brown. All right, well, it's okay. Let's say you get rid of him. Who the hell are you going to pick the coach? There's three good coaches in the NBA. Everybody else sucks. And you can't just say, part of Brett Brown. Who the hell else can coach? Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, and the dude from the Celtics. That's it. You can't just fire somebody. There are no good coaches. Moron.
The exclamation to fire a coach is based out of frustration. They don't. In reality, you can't fire him certainly now. But you can always find a guy that you think is going to be a good coach. I mean, Toronto found this Nurse dude. He turned out to be a pretty good coach.
The Nets coach looked like he could coach. Yeah, he comes from the same Popovich tree. The Bucks coach can coach.
Exactly. You can always find a guy. So Brett Brown, if he doesn't win the East, is in trouble, I think.
Hey, Mike, you were mentioning how Ben Simmons has problems with the picket fence. I think we need to set up a meeting with him and Jim Schwartz. Problem solved.
There you go. picket fence defense. Jim knows a lot about it.
Yes, this is professional golfer Matt Kuchar trying to reach LaShawn McCoy. Hey, Shady, I heard you once left a $3 tip on a $300 restaurant. Slow down, Rockefeller. You're spoiling it for the rest of us. Stop leaving the big tips, bro.
I'm really happy for him to have a great week and make a good sum of money. For making $5,000 is a great week. One million too, dude. Seriously. I just can't get over the comment. Like, if I'm Matt Kuchar, I go, all right, I've been outed. I'm going to make it good. Yeah, in retrospect, I did the wrong thing. Boom. End of story. You stick to your story. It's like it makes you look like a heathen.
His follow-up is, I offered him an extra $15,000. Now, look, that's still only about 1%. Not the 10 that, yeah, and the guy said, you know what?
The caddy turned it down.
But
I wouldn't turn it down. I'm not where the caddy is off turning down $15,000. Because I'd take the $15,000 and I'd still complain.
Mike, that game was like a playoff loss. Like, seriously. Like, if we still can't beat the Celtics, then we made all them trades for nothing. And Brett Brown definitely need to be fired. I can't take no more of this.
What a lot of Celtic calls. Still, they played a game last night. Nobody cared. The Celtic hangover.
I have a Valentine's Day poem. Roses are red. Patriots jerseys are blue. Tom Brady lost to Nick Foles in Super Bowl 52. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and Tom will say, roses are red, violets are blue. I got 9 in my pocket. How many do you?
I would have liked to have seen Corey Brewer in that game last night as opposed to Furkan. He's just chippier. He's a little bit tougher. He's longer. He's leaner. Same production. But he played with an edge. They were nasty on that West Coast trip. Furkan doesn't look like he wants to get his hair messed up.
Again, this is like after the Celtics game, because Furkan saw no time last night. This is still leftover Celtics calls.
These are still active Celtics calls coming in.
I like Corey Brewer when he's here with that feeble team they had. You don't need Corey Brewer now. You got better Corey Brewers.
The opposing team's starting center has 2 fouls in the first 5 minutes of the game, including a technical, and doesn't pick up his 3rd foul until 10 minutes to go in the 4th quarter. How are you not spending the rest of the first half and 3rd quarter attacking him every chance you've got to try to get him to pick up 3, 4, 5 fouls? That is ridiculous.
People just won't let it go. They won't let the Boston game go. All right, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sonar. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com.
You got a belief?
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Oh, yeah, that was sound off. 610-771-9705. That's how you get into the sound off line. All right, coming up, Anthony, Cuss's Corner. Anthony from Parks Casino tonight. And Devon will follow Anthony. Joe Torti into the night. Keep it locked right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Everybody have a great rest of the night, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Let the break begin. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Turn your passion for sports into a career. Check out a studio tour at a Connecticut School of Broadcasting in Cherry Hill. Visit GoCSB.com to reserve your spot. Sixers bounce back after their loss to the Celtics to beat the Knicks last night, 126-111. They now head into the All-Star break, 5th in the Eastern Conference at 37-21. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid will face each other in the All-Star game on Sunday night. The Sixers resume play next Thursday night against the Heat. Philly signed a pitcher, Aaron Nola, to a 4-year, $45 million contract extension. Few things in life are more stressful than caring for a loved one at home. Jevs Care at Home understands and offers services that help. Visit jevsathome.org to learn more. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli Show
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.